and welcome to this week's message from Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
But what I want to talk about is the sense of we as human beings and we as men, we like being independent. We like doing things our way. We like to, as it were, make sure that we can do it. We want to make sure that we're strong. We want to make sure that it's, you know, we're independent. We think that we can do it. I'm still a bit to dashing about with the thing. And it's hard work being independent. It's just hard work being, doing it on your own, trying to be strong all by yourself. It's just hard work. When you get some kind of power behind you, like a good old petrol engine, it's amazing. Because, like, how much were you sweating? Do you know? And maybe eventually you get through that, but would you want to do another one? But you get something powerfully behind you, and it's amazing how you can keep going, how much more of life that you can do. And I think even the best of us, even perhaps you might go, you know, I'm not that independent. All of us have areas in our life where we want to manage by ourselves. We say, you know, whether it's finances, whether it's relationship, we say, you know, I want to sort this out myself. But actually, I believe all of us are better when we do it together, when we do it both with each other and with God. The writer of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, writes this. I will eventually recover. It's a good joke though, wasn't it, the no trousers one? That's fine. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 8, if you're taking notes. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. From whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless and miserable business. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man or woman who falls and has no one to help him up or her up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And it's not just the Bible. Common sense tells us, right, that actually it's better if we do life together. Other people have different gifts and skills that we don't have, and they're so useful to have in our world. It's great to share things. If things are going well or badly, it's great to rejoice with others when things are going well, right? And when the chips are down, isn't it great to have a friend to share your deepest woes, your heartaches, and to process them and to feel and know that at least somebody in the world understands? It's good to do life together, but not just together with human beings, but also with God himself. God created us to have a relationship with him, to do life with him as well as with mankind. And yet so often, even Christians in this room, Christ followers, we so often, even though we have God, still struggle on our own. We, you know, perhaps we think that God isn't interested, or it's too small, or we just don't think about it, but we don't involve God. And I want to say that we need to go from independence to interdependence as human beings. Independence to interdependence. Jesus says in John 10, verse 10, that he has come to give us life, and us life in all its fullness. You know, if this is your first time in church, you need to hear that God is for you. And if you would come to know him and to follow him, that he is committed to making your life be the most abundant that your life can be, to give you love and joy and hope. And what I want to do this morning, because tonight I'm going to look at kind of doing life together as human beings, like together. But this morning I want to very quickly look at how we do life together, how we're interdependent with God himself. Is that okay? Great. I'm going to pray, see if I can get my mind away from chopping logs with chainsaws. And Father, I pray you'd help us just for these next 15 minutes or so. Just fix our eyes on you. Fix our eyes on thinking about how we become more interdependent with you, Father. And Father, I pray for each one, perhaps there's some here who don't know you, that this may be their first step to becoming interdependent with you, their beginning that relationship. But for the rest of us, Father, who already know you, Father, I pray you'd highlight areas where we need to let you in. Highlight areas where we need to give things to you. But God, that you'd help us to make that transition from being independent human beings to be interdependent human beings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Just before I whiz on to my point, I just want to make a small comment about interdependency with God. Because some of you theologians are going like, but God's not dependent on us, is he? And in one sense, God doesn't need you and me. He's quite happy on his own in the Godhead, so to speak. He doesn't need us at all. I mean, we desperately need him, right? Don't think that we desperately need him. But he doesn't really need us. We need him. He sustains our life. We need his forgiveness. We need him to fix stuff in our lives. But you see, God has chosen, despite not needing us, to actually need us for a particular task. God's plan to reveal himself to the world, rightly or wrongly, good idea or not, I'm going to presume it's a good idea because it's a God idea, God has chosen and asked us to participate with him to reach the world, to let people know about God's love, about the relationship he'd like, to know about his grace and his mercy, to know that he came down personally to fix things and actually to pay the price for our rebellion against him. He paid the price for that on the cross so we can have relationship. He's decided that we would be his messengers. And in that sense, in that sense alone, he's dependent on us. I mean, it's still very one-sided, all right? Don't think it's a 50-50. It's not. You know, it's a 50. It's no. It's probably a 298, all right, in God's favor. But still, we're still. And this is it's important for us to know this. And it's important that this is why the Bible talks about it. Because it means that we have to get stuck in. Yeah. If you're a Christian, you can't think, oh, well, God will look after it. It'll be fine. No. God needs us to engage with life and the mission for it to be fulfilled. He doesn't have a plan B. I mean, he can occasionally supernaturally do whatever he wants, of course. But in general, the world is reached when we engage. And therefore, in that sense, there's an interdependency of the whole of mankind and us and God all wrapped up in the mission of the church. And if I'm honest, I really like that. It means that when I'm working hard for God, I am genuinely, as he works through me and works in me, I am genuinely making a difference for him and for the kingdom. I'm not wasting my time. It's not like God could do it anyway, or God will do it anyway. There is that sense of I am responsible. But I want to suggest one or two things that I think will help us to become interdependent with God rather than independent human beings. The first one is this. I've turned it this. They're not in any particular order. We need to get good at burning bridges. We need to get good at burning bridges. The prophet Elisha is one of my favorite characters. He was the one who received the double portion from Elijah. When Elijah died, he received a double portion of God's Spirit in his life. And I've always asked what I would love to get. And in 1 Kings 19:19-21, we read the story of Elisha getting called to become a prophet. And he, at this stage, is just a young man. We don't know how young. He's just a young man. The story says he's plowing. He's plowing with the 12th pair of ox. So he's obviously coming from a rich family. So imagine there's a field, there's oxes, there's probably a single furrow plow behind each ox, and there's 12 of these teams in a row. It would have looked spectacular. And he was driving the 12th pair. And according to the experts, because I don't know much about agriculture way back then, according to the experts, the 12th pair was running the whole show. Because he was at the back, he was watching out and making sure that all of them went forward together well, right? So he wasn't a nobody, he was somebody. Presumably had a good future to look forward in the family business. And when Elijah calls him, he says to Elijah, he says, hey, is it okay if I go back to say goodbye to my parents and then I'll come? And Elijah says, what's up to you? And what this young man does is he does this. He goes back to his parents, says goodbye, comes back in the field. He kills the two animals, creates a bonfire out of the plow, cooks the meat, hands it out, and says, I am finished with farming. I'm finished with my past life. I'm burning that bridge and I'm moving on into what God has called me to. I am going to become an assistant, a servant of Elijah. I don't know what it's going to mean. I don't know where that's going to lead me, but I'm burning my old life and I'm going to attach myself into the... I'm burning a bridge. That's what he was doing. And I believe that we need to do the same in our life if we're going to become interdependent with God rather than an individual. And we need to do it over and over again. You know, in each one of us, there's some actions that we need to say, that bridge is finished. I'm not doing that anymore. In our thought life, we need to decide we're going to think certain ways and not other ways, and then burn the bridge. I have decided that every single person I meet, I'm going to believe that God has an incredible future for them. If you come into this church, you bring some to this church, I have decided before you get through this door, it doesn't matter what they look like, what they smell like, what they dress like, what color they are, what language they speak, I have decided I will believe they've got an incredible potential in Jesus. I have decided that, and I'm burnt the bridge for the rest. And it's those kind of things that we need to decide if we're going to become totally with God. Things like relationships, and I was speaking to some of the team on this, you know, I've decided that Michelle is the love of my life for the rest of my days. Until I die or she dies, every other option's burnt. It's gone. I've decided. It's finished. I'm not going back. I'm not reconsidering in the darkest of the days. My only decision is how do I fix this? And that's it. And there's certain things, if we're going to become interdependent with God and with each other, but we need to burn some bridges. I have decided. The chief one being, I have decided to follow Jesus. I ain't turning back. If you want to have an amazing interdependent relationship with God himself, decide to follow Jesus, burn all the other bridges, and go forward in him. God honors those people who will do that, and we'll give you a chance at the end, if you've never decided to follow Jesus, to begin that relationship with him. The second thing I want to say is this. We need to have an incredible attitude of heart, an attitude of heart. I love the story of David and Goliath, and I've spoken on it before in 1 Samuel 17. But David does not win the battle because he is amazing. He doesn't win the battle because he's quicker or stronger or faster. He wins it because of his heart. Yeah. What's going on in his heart? Because he is interdependent with God. He says this in verse 45 of chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with the sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defiled. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head," which he did, cut off his head with his own sword, which was amazing. "Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air, the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." He had an attitude that says, "God, I'm for you. God, I know who I am. I am a follower, a servant, a child of the King of Kings and Lord. I am yours. And I am not fighting for myself. I'm not living for myself. My attitude of heart is, I'm living for you. And I'm living for your glory so that your name might be raised high." And if we're going to truly have an interdependent relationship with God, we need to have that attitude of heart. Yep. It's not a feeling. It's somewhere between a decision and a feeling. It's an attitude. It's a way of doing life. And I know some of you love Jesus. I also know some of you hold things back from him, areas of your life. But I also know that for so many of you, you'd love to do what David did. You see, there was thousands, tens of thousands of the Israelite army who had been going day after day and heard this Goliath speak. And David turned up one day and said, "I'll go sort it. I'll go. I'll risk my life. I believe God can do this." Trust me, every one of those men, those soldiers, every one of them, when David came back, everyone would have thought the same thing. And that thing is what? I wish it had been me. I wish it had been me. All of them. I'm pretty sure they were glad that David had done it. But I wish. And the thing is, God's spirit now lives in us. All of us can be David's. There's no restriction. There's no restriction. And somewhere between I'm going to believe because I've chosen and the feeling is this attitude of I will trust that God will come through for me. Another one? Number three. We need, I believe, an incorporating of God's instruction into our life. And I use the word incorporating because I couldn't think of a better, simpler word, right? Because incorporating, what incorporating means is I'm going to absorb God's teaching into my very makeup. One of my prayers every time I read the Bible is, God, help me not just to read and understand this, but help it to become part of who I am. Almost as if I don't need to think about what I've been reading. I will just do it because it's me, part of who I am. And this is what I'm talking about, this kind of incorporating what God says into our lives. Psalm 119, which is rather long in case you've not read it yet, talks about the laws and principles and culture of God. And in particular, in Psalm 119, verse 105, and it hasn't finished there, in case you're wondering, it says this about God's instruction in our life. 119, verse 105. The writer says this, your word, your instruction, your law, which he's been on about, is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. It will help you live life abundantly if you will incorporate his teaching. I was going to read Proverbs 3, 1 to 18, but you can scribble that down. Proverbs 3, 1 to 18. It talks about wisdom. What's wisdom? It's the application of that which you know in your life. Wisdom and doing that really, really well. And I believe this. I believe that God's power, God's ability to work in your life, to work in your family's life, to work in our generation, to work through us to impact other generations, the ability of God's power to work in our nation is always hindered when we do not incorporate his instructions into our heart and souls, into our families, into our communities, and into our very nation itself. And I would suggest that if we don't, not only do we miss that abundant life, but actually we're in trouble as well. But that's another message altogether, right? So let's not go down there. Ready, number four?
Ready.
And then I've got a conclusion, and I'll hand back to Dave. And then the band will have to somehow work out stuff, right? We need to listen to God's voice, to listen to his voice. The thing is, God wants to have a relationship with us, not a Bible study or a one-sided prayer meeting. He wants to actually communicate with us directly. And he does do it through the Bible. And he does do it through friends. But he also does it by the gentle whisper or sometimes the shouty noise of God speaking to us. John 16, verse 12, Jesus says this, I have so much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. Listen to this. He will not speak on his own. He will speak. He will speak. Not he might do, but he will speak to each one of you. He will speak. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And he will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. Can I suggest that all of us, and I include myself in this, great time to hear his voice, special times to hear his voice. But also in our everyday life, let's be listening to his voice. When you're at school or college, when you're at work, business, when you're at home with the family, let's always have, as it were, one ear open to what God might be saying in our lives. And I finish with this comment before Dave comes back. I think if we're going to have a truly interdependent relationship with God, we also need to be strong and we need to be courageous. I don't want to say it's going to be necessarily easy all the time. Joshua, who followed Moses, was told by God to go and conquer the land of Canaan. And over and over and over again, he was told to be strong and courageous. And if you love Jesus, can I suggest if you're going to be a good man of God and a good woman, a good man of God, you need to be strong and courageous. You cannot wimp out. This church, your families, our communities need men of God who'll be strong and courageous, will hear the voice of God, will hear the instruction, will live a life that honors him and glorifies him, that will, if necessary, as David did, say, I will stand for the glory of God above all things. I will, like Elisha did, I will burn bridges if necessary, because God is the one who I'm following first. I believe, church, if we can do that as men, we will show not just our communities, but a nation of how to live a life and how amazing God is.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.